Open them to 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. A few weeks ago, the Lord laid this passage of Scripture on my heart here about Solomon, and I think I have three or four different outlines on this same chapter right here. These few verses that we're about to read, there's so much in here. There's a lot to be learned from here. There's a lot of things that I believe the Lord just laid on my heart. Morning, I just felt like the Lord led me a different direction Sunday morning, and I feel like He had me hold off on this till Wednesday night. And then I thought about it last night as I was working and going over this part of Scripture in my mind and praying about the Lord, you know, showing me what He'd want me to talk about. I realized that if Pastor Josh stays on track in a few weeks, he'll be in this part of Scripture. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't want to jump ahead of Josh. And then I thought about it, you know, and have you ever gone to a concert and there's always an opening group, you know, that's not as good as the group that you came to hear? And I figured that's me tonight. I'm the opening. I'll be the opening to the 1 Kings chapter 3. And then, you know, Pastor Josh will come in and show you the truth and tell you where I messed up and correct everything I tell you tonight. But go ahead, I'm going to follow the Lord on this tonight. But before we start reading, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I want to thank you so much for everything that you've done. I want to thank you for a chance to share your word. And I do pray that as we open up the Bible and read from it, that you would have your way, dear God, in each and every one of our hearts, each and every person that hears, dear God, this message tonight, that you would use it to get hold of our heart, get hold of our life, use it to draw us closer to you, that we might be used for you, dear God. Father, we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. So in 1 Kings chapter number 3, we're actually going to start reading in verse number 3 and read down through verse number 15. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept him, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy chosen people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?' And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I also have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. So we have Solomon here, and the beginning of his reign as king. Solomon was the third king of Israel. He was the last king to reign during the unity of Israel. After Solomon, the kingdom would be split. So you had Saul, then you had David, and then you have Solomon. Those were the three kings who reigned when Israel was not divided. And Solomon seems to be off to a great start here. You see where he's found favor of the Lord. You see where he is searching for the Lord. You see where he has prayed for wisdom and God's given it to him. And God seems to be very pleased with Solomon at this time in his life. And as I was reading about Solomon a little bit, I brought this book in just to read you one little section that really stood out to me about Solomon. And as much as Solomon was off to a great start right here, it tells us this, that let me just find this one little part that I read in here. It says, the shipwreck of Solomon, because Solomon, as good as he started, he didn't end so well. And you know, let me just say this, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And if you read through the Bible, you'll notice some people who had a bad start, but they ended well. Right. I think about the Apostle Paul. He had a bad start. Yeah. He was an enemy of the church. He was an enemy of God.
Right.
But by the time he died, he said that I finished my course. Mm-hmm. He said, I've kept the faith. I finished my course. And he finished well. But you have Solomon here, who started out well, but he ended bad. And this is what it says, what I was reading about it. The shipwreck of Solomon is surely the most terrible tragedy in all the world. For if ever there was a shining type of Christ in the Old Testament church, it was Solomon. But everyday sensuality made him in the end a castaway. Man. I tell you, there's a lot of ways that I can think of I want to be remembered. Being a castaway is not one of them.
Right.
Being a castaway is not one of them. Then one more part, it says this. The man who penned and preached 1,000 wise things failed to practice the wisdom he taught. And that's something, because often when we think about Solomon, or at least I do, I think about the beginning of Solomon. I think about this time, this communication between him and God when he asked for wisdom. And we think about just the wisdom of his prayer request, that's what he asked for. He prayed for wisdom. And we see God's favor on him. And we think about all the wisdom. We think about the book of Proverbs wrote by Solomon. And we think about his wisdom. But, you know, with all of the wisdom and all of this, at the end, he's known for being a castaway. You know, that was one of Paul's biggest fears. I heard a message one time on Paul on the things that he was afraid of, and they talked about all the things that he wasn't afraid of. Paul wasn't afraid of death. Paul was not afraid of being persecuted. He was not afraid of being stoned. He was not afraid of anything that might come his way. But one thing that he feared was that he would become a castaway. And here we have Solomon who become a castaway, but that's how he ended. So just remember, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But there are some things in this that I want to point out where Solomon was off to a great start. And had Solomon stayed on this road, you see where God had told him in verse 14, if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandment, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. It's almost like, you know, God was giving Solomon that warning. He said, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. And God knew, but with all that, with everything I'm going to give you, keep walking in my ways. And God's given him a warning. If you will walk in my ways, if you will follow my commandments, I will lengthen thy days. I will bless you. I will be with you. But unfortunately, that's not what happened with Solomon. But there are some things that he did that we can learn from him that we can apply to our lives.
Amen.
Number one, in verse 3, it says this, and Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. I see that Solomon had a desire to have a relationship with God. You see this in these first few verses. He was no doubt practicing Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. I think if you look at Solomon in the beginning, he was practicing that.
Right.
I think that he had heard about the Lord. And we're going to get into that too. But he had heard about the Lord, and he wanted that relationship with him. He was seeking God's face. The Bible says that he went up on this high place and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings unto the Lord. He was searching out for God and he had a love for him. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus responded to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, when he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And you and I as Christians, if we're going to serve him, if we're going to live for him, it's going to take having a love for him.
Amen.
We got to, but Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
And the truth is, when we mess up, when we live in sin, if we're truthful about it, biblically, the reason that we fall into sin, allow sin to come into our life, or allow ourselves to live in sin, is because of our lack of love for him. For if we truly loved him the way that we should, then we would want to please him. It would guide every decision that we make.
Amen.
And there's no doubt the reason that Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. If you don't love him, you lose your motivation to live for him.
Amen.
But we see that he started out that he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord, which means this. If he loved the Lord, he knew of the Lord. I like where it says this, in Solomon, in verse 6, it says, and Solomon said this, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. So not only did he love the Lord, he knew the Lord. He knew about the mercy of the Lord. And he said, thou hast shown unto David, my father, great mercy. So no doubt at this time in Solomon's life, he had heard the stories of his father David. He'd probably heard of everything that David has gone through, and from how he was chosen in the beginning to be king by Samuel, and how he beat Goliath. But then surely he'd heard about David's downfall with Bathsheba and how he came to be.
Yeah.
Solomon, he no doubt had heard all of this, but he'd heard all of this from David, his father, and he'd learned about the mercy of the Lord. And I just want to just stop right there and just look at David as an example of a father. You know, everything that Solomon knew, he learned from David, his father. And how important is it that you and I, men, that we step up and be the dads that we need to be in our homes? If you look at everything that's going on in the world today, I would say you could probably trace it back to the breakdown of the home.
Yeah.
Dads aren't stepping up and doing what they're supposed to do. You'll hear me quote many things from my pastor back at home because it's amazing, and this will tell you the importance of bringing your kids up in church. There's just things that I heard my pastor say growing up that has stuck with me. And one thing that he noticed was, he said when he was growing up, that the old-time television shows, back in the black and white shows, if you remember, that when there was a problem, there wasn't nothing Dad couldn't handle. You know, Dad was working and providing. And if there was a problem, the dad could solve it.
Yeah.
But if you look at what today the television shows portray the dads as, they portray the dads as being lazy idiots who don't know anything, and it's the wives holding the families together. And that's the way society has become. I know it's sad when we think about the African-American community. They say that 7 out of 10... don't have a father. 70%. I'll tell you, if you really want to help the African American family, the community out, they got to restore their family life.
That's right.
We need some dads to step up. It was Solomon that wrote in Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it."
Amen.
That it's our job. It's our jobs as fathers to train our children and teach them about God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." My kids don't pay attention to that part. "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It's our job as fathers to make sure that our kids know who God is, know about His mercy, know how to serve Him, know how to worship Him, and know who He is.
Amen.
The greatest thing that you could give this world is godly children that serve the Lord and know about Him. My grandmother said that. But you see, Solomon learned from David, his father, and I was thinking about what it would be like to have David for a father, especially Solomon at this point in his life. Think about the experience that David had to pass on to Solomon. All right, really just stop and just think about, if you're Solomon and David is your dad, at this point in his life, he's the one advising you and telling you and raising you. David had experiences just like a normal boy, just like we all did. I would imagine David as a kid had a slingshot, right? Because
yeah.
He obviously got pretty good on a slingshot. I think when David was probably maybe Mike or Connor's age, he was probably out there with slings, shooting trees, and just having a good time with his slingshot. I remember when I was a little boy, I had a slingshot, and I was surprised at how far that thing would sling a rock. Mm-hmm. And but I can imagine that David just had a normal childhood experience as a boy. He had the experience as a shepherd. We know that as David got older, his job, he was a shepherd. And as a shepherd, I'm sure that he had a lot of time out there where he could worship and work on his relationship, his one-on-one time with God. But he had experience, just his childhood experience, his experiences as a shepherd, his experience of being a brother. Man, David had some rough brothers, remember? When David showed up, when they were battling the Philistines, they said, "Hey, what are you doing up here, David? We know the naughtiness of thy heart. You're just up here so you could see battle." And he had brothers, so he knew what it was like to have brothers. He knew what it was like to be picked on. We know that he had experience in the battle, battling as a shepherd. He had fought a lion. He had fought off a bear. He fought off Goliath. So he had experience as a warrior. He had experience as king of Israel. He had the experience of being chosen by God, where God chose him to be king. Just think about the life of David and the impact it had to have on him that day when Samuel came and said that he was the next anointed and poured that oil over him. And to my understanding, David wasn't but about probably 15, 16 years old, and to be anointed the next king of Israel. Man, what do you think it was going on through his mind that day? But he had that experience of being chosen by God. He had that experience. He had experienced the joys of victory, and it tasted the bitter waters of defeat. David had had highs, and he had had lows. He had experienced a sweet, intimate relationship with God. David knew what it was like to be at peace with God. He knew what it was like to have the blessing of God on his life. But then he also knew what it was like to fall. He knew what it was like to lose that. That's why when David prayed in Psalm, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation," David reflected back to when him and God's relationship was right, where it needed to be, and he missed it.
That's right.
He missed it. Sin had come into his life, and sin had separated him from God. Sin had separated him from that relationship. He said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." So he knew what it's like to have a good relationship with God. He knew what it was like to lose that relationship with God. But he also knew what it was like to find mercy. That God sent Nathan to David to call out his sin, but to also restore fellowship between David and God. So he knew what it was like to have a good relationship. He knew what it was like to fall, but he'd also experienced God's mercy. And then in also doing so, David learned, even though we get forgiveness for our sin, we still have to suffer the consequences of our choices.
Right.
So even though God does forgive sin, we still have to answer for sin. And Josh has been doing a great job showing that to us on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
David had experience with death, losing his sons, losing men on the battlefield. He knew what it was like to be betrayed by those around him. What I'm trying to tell you is that David had a lot of life experience. Can you imagine Solomon at this point in his life trying to teach David something? Seems a little silly, doesn't it? And I'm saying this for you young people. Listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. You know why? They've been around longer than you. They know. They know the dangers in this world. They've been through it. Listen, we know what it's like, especially if you grew up in a Christian home. I can tell you, I know what it's like to be in sweet fellowship with God. I know what it's like to be in His favor, but I can tell you, I've messed up too. I have found myself turning to Psalm 51 and reading it several times in my life, ready for God to restore the joy of my salvation. We know the dangers that are out there. We have seen the wickedness of this world. I can think back to times in my life where the Lord's taken care of me, where the Lord has kept me safe. I can tell you, when I was 16 years old, I remember me and my friend Mitchell, we was in a parking lot, and Mitchell, I was taking him, I think he was getting in his vehicle to leave, and this guy come up and said, hey, can you give me a ride? And my friend Mitchell was just like, don't do this. And I kind of felt funny at 16. I didn't know how to say no. And I said, yeah, I can give you a ride. And my friend Mitchell left. And he said, I need you to just take me over here. And I took this guy over here. And he jumped out. And he come back. He said, actually, just wait a second. I need you to. And next time I was driving this guy all over town. And I remember we kind of stopped on this side road in the middle of nowhere. He said, just stop right here. And I don't know what to do. I felt funny at this point. Didn't know what was going on. I stopped. He said, just let me out. And he got out. I'll never know whatever happened to that guy. But Mitchell, my friend Mitchell, he went home and told his mom, man, Lee just gave this guy a ride home. His mom called my mom. I get home. My mom's like, who are you giving a ride to? And she's just like, you know what? Are you crazy? You don't let nobody in your vehicle. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to say no. So you just tell them no. You don't give strangers rides. And at the time, as I get older, I look back at this guy. Man, I don't know who he was. I don't know why we was down this side road, and I don't know why he decided to get out of my truck at that time. But I'll tell you this, I know that the Lord kept His hand on me that day and kept me safe.
Amen.
But I think back to those times, and now I make sure I tell my kid, you don't give strangers rides. Listen to your parents. I'm telling you, they have life experience. And just recognize that Solomon, he learned from the Lord. And I also just want to bring out, let's just keep on reading right here. It says, in verse 5 it says, and in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. How many of you would like it if God would appear to you and say, ask what I shall give thee?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great thing? Wouldn't it be a great thing? Number one, the Bible says that the Lord appeared unto Solomon. We see fellowship between Solomon and before God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we had fellowship with God? Can I tell you something? You can have both. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. Anytime you're alone, that's you and God. You're alone with Him. Anytime you open up God's Word, He's speaking to you. Just the same way that He spoke to Solomon that day. And the Bible says that the Lord appeared unto him. And the Lord said, ask. He asked, He said, ask. Ask what I shall give thee. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. How about in the book of Matthew, where the Bible tells us, He says, anything you shall ask in my name, He said, what? I'll do it. Everything that Solomon got right here, do you know the Lord's offering that to you and me? Isn't that something? Everything that the fellowship, God appeared to him, God wants to speak to you. Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. We can hear the voice of the Lord. God asked Solomon, he says, what? What shall you give me? And then notice this, what Solomon says. Solomon says, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And he says this, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And in verse 10 it says this, and the speech pleased the Lord. The speech pleased the Lord. I was listening to that. I just want you to know something, that what are you praying for? What are you praying for? When you pray to God, what are your prayers like? Because here's what I learned from reading this. Your prayers tell a lot about you. Your prayers tell a lot about your character. And I think if we were honest with ourselves, and I'm honest with myself, so many times when we go to God in prayer, our prayers are what? They're selfish. God, first thing God noticed about Solomon's prayers is they weren't selfish. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, thou hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Everything that Solomon was requesting that day had nothing to do with Solomon. The reason that Solomon wanted wisdom was not for Solomon. Solomon recognized and listened, you have made me king over David my father, and you have put me over your chosen people, a multitude of people. And if I'm going to judge them, if I'm going to be their king, then I need your help and I need your wisdom. And his prayer request for wisdom was the most unselfish prayer request that he could make. Because when I read this, and anyone that has a lick of common sense reads this and says, Lord, give me that same wisdom. Because if you blessed Solomon with this wisdom, I want this same wisdom. In the back of my mind, you know what I'm hoping? And I hope you give me everything else you gave Solomon too. Because I could use the money too. I could use the riches that he blessed him with. But when Solomon asked these things, it was the most unselfish prayer that he could pray. That he just wanted help to lead God's people. And as Father's Day comes up, and I keep thinking about fathers, and how David was a father to Solomon, and how Solomon needed help to lead God's people, you and I need to pray for wisdom that we can lead our families with God's wisdom. Because one thing that he realized was the task was too hard for him. There's one thing that I can realize as a husband, as a father, as a youth pastor, the task is too hard for me. And myself, I fall short. And if I'm going to be successful, I need God's help. Amen. I need God's wisdom. I'm thankful that the Bible teaches. Listen, I want to read a verse to you. You don't have to turn there. I can just read it to you real fast. In James chapter 1, if you read about God giving Solomon this wisdom, and you can't help but thank God, give me that same wisdom. Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Do you realize that God said, if you lack wisdom, you ask me for it, and I'll give it to you? The reason that God granted Solomon his prayer request is because Solomon's prayer request, he wanted the same thing that God wanted. And when we get our heart right with God, we will be praying for the same. Our desires will be the same as his desires, which means our prayers will match up with what he wants, and God will be able to answer those prayers. The Bible teaches, you can go through and read Proverbs and everything that he writes in Proverbs chapter 2 and 3 and tells you the value of wisdom. And Solomon's teaching, he says, get wisdom. Get understanding. The value of it's more valuable than silver and gold. We're running out of time. But that same wisdom that Solomon prayed for, it's available to you and I. But you got to read in Proverbs, you have to seek it out. You got to seek it out. You got to seek out God's wisdom. And if you want God's wisdom, the Bible says it, in Proverbs it says wisdom's the principal thing. We need it. Hey, how many agrees? I need wisdom as a husband. I need wisdom as a father. I need wisdom in my finances. Amen. Hey, I've made some dumb choices financially, and I'm still paying for them. But I want God's wisdom when it comes to my finances. I want God's wisdom in all that I do. I want God's wisdom. And the Bible says that we can have it, but real quick, I just want to end on this. Why was the Lord pleased with Solomon? Why did God answer his prayer? And I think it goes back to this. Solomon's heart was in the right place. If you go back to verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. He loved God, and he was walking in his statutes. He was living a righteous life. Many of us, we want God to answer our prayers, but we don't want to start out and walk in his ways. If you're going to serve God, you got to serve God God's way. And if we want God to answer our prayers, man, we got to have a pure heart. We got to remember that it's sin that separates us from God. It's sin that hinders our prayers. And when we allow sin to come into our life, it hinders our prayer life. But Solomon's prayers were answered because at this time, he was searching out God. The Bible says that he gave 1,000 burnt offerings. 1,000 burnt offerings. What is that? Listen, I seen Solomon was seeking God. He'd heard about the relationship between David, his father, and God. Amen. Solomon wanted it so bad. There he was offering sacrifices. He had 1,000, maybe after, he had 75, 100, 200. He still hadn't found what he was looking for. The Bible says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And when we're doing all we can to get to God and we fall short, then what? When we can't get to where God is, God comes to where we are. And as Solomon was seeking God, and I don't think Solomon was getting what he wanted. I think that's why he offered 1,000 sacrifices. He was out searching for God and he wasn't getting that peace. He wasn't having that relationship. He was searching for God and he wasn't getting it. He was falling short, but then God saw him. God saw his consistency and God came to him. So many times we go to God, and I can tell you I'm guilty of this in my own life. We haven't read the Bible in weeks. We haven't read it in months. And then we go to God and say, oh God, show yourself to us. And we want to open it up and within 5 minutes hear those angels singing and hear God's voice. Like as soon as we're ready for Him, we want Him just to reach down. But listen, we're going to have to be faithful. We're going to have to open up God's Word and read it. And if we don't get, and if maybe we don't get what we're looking for on that day, then we go back to it the next day. And you stay in God's Word and you stay faithful. And when God sees you searching Him, searching for Him and seeking His face, the Bible says in James chapter 4, draw nigh to God and what? I'll draw nigh to you. And when God sees some faithfulness on your end, that's when we start having an effective prayer life. I just want to end with, everyone knows about the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Just another prayer that God answered. The Bible says, I'm going to read you verse 10 first and then we're going to go back and read verse 9. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, O God, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and at that time, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and if it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So here we have Jabez. He's praying for a lot of things right here. He says, O Lord, that thou would bless me indeed. Hey, you're foolish not to pray that. I want God's blessing on me and my family. I pray for it. Enlarge my coast. Give me more land. That thine hand might be with me. God be with me. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. And he was praying for all these things. And God granted him that which he requested. Don't you want God to hear your prayers? Grant you what you're asking for? I do. But verse 9 says this. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. See, before Jabez started asking for these things, Jabez was living an honorable life. And if we want God to hear our prayers and grant us our requests, just like He did for Jabez, just like He did for Solomon, let's just make sure that we're doing our part. Let's make sure we're living an honorable life. Let's make sure that we're loving the Lord. Make sure that we're seeking His face. And I believe with all my heart, I believe the Bible. John 14, verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, Jesus said this, I will do it. We can have an effective prayer life. God can hear our prayers, but let's just make sure that we are doing our part in loving Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. Make sure that we're seeking His face and that we're living an honorable life just like Jabez. That way, whenever we get to heaven, listen, my life verse is Psalms 84, verse 11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Here's what I know. If you're living the best you can, if you're praying, you're seeking His face, you're loving Him, and you pray for it, if it's good for you, God's going to give it to you. I can promise you that. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you've ever prayed for something and God didn't give it to you, then He knows that wouldn't be good for you. But if it will be good for you, God will give it to you. All right, so that's what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. I think we're out of time. I'm sorry if I might have went a minute or two over. But that is what the Lord's laid on my heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for everything that you've done. I thank you for your word and for what it teaches. I thank you for the story of Solomon, dear God, where you granted him what he requested for. Lord, I pray you would help all of us to love you the way that Solomon did, Father, to seek your face the way that he did, to live an honorable life like Jabez did. Father, that your hand might be on us. Father, it'd be a foolish thing not to ask for your blessing on our life. And Father, I pray for each family that's represented here, that your hand would be on each family, that you would bless every family here. I pray that you would just put your hand on them. Give us wisdom to make the decisions we need to as parents. I pray you'd be with the young people to give them wisdom and choices that they're going to have to make, choices they're going to be faced with, dear God. Lord, we need your hand on us. We pray your blessing on us, dear God. Lord, we again pray for Pastor Josh. Just keep him safe. Bring him back to us. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you most of all for Jesus dying on the cross. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.